This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, feel good Friday. White Sox go to Detroit. Schedule gets tough next week. By the way, the Tigers haven't been slouches as of late. The Tigers were like 9-24. That's how they started the year, Yurk. I think they're 5 games above 500 since then, believe it or not. Yeah, their pitching has been pretty good. Like, they haven't been slouches, but the White Sox get to face a lefty tonight. And they've got Giolito on the bump, and they're about a minus 170 favorite.
You know what? They like to do Detroit. The lefties, Carm.
They like to pound lefties. Yeah, but yeah. Detroit's played much better, actually. Boy, that A.J. Hinch. Anyway.
When is Dylan Cease pitch? Because that's a win, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Dylan Cease against the Tigers.
Lock it in, baby. Seven career victories against the Tigers.
I know. And then next week, it's the Rays at home. Meller's going to one of those games.
Yeah, Cease is pitching on Saturday, so that's a win.
Win.
And then, I'm going Monday. I'm taking my son and a bunch of his friends for his birthday.
What's our clock out day? What the time do we check out? 10 o'clock?
Oh, in terms of when it will I?
Yeah.
No. Yurko, I'm going to put a full day of work in on Monday because the game is at night, and then I have taken Tuesday off, which is my twins' actual birthday.
What about children's activities?
We will be accounting
for those in the morning?
You think you'll make it to the end of the game?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
his kids are a little older, too.
It's
By
funny,
the way, somebody responded to you, just so you know. Go ahead, Jay.
We don't have, my son will be turning 11 next Tuesday.
Congrats.
So I'm taking him and four friends to the White Sox-Rays game on Monday, Glasnow versus Lynn. That's
a hell of a game, dude.
It's a beauty.
And that's actually one of the great things about the White Sox. You were mentioning the starting staff, Carm. Like, pick out a date, you're going to see a good pitcher on the mound
probably,
for the White Sox.
Which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, so that's always nice. So, we will stay till the end of the game.
And then they go to the Astros next weekend. So, Sox entering a little bit of a difficult stretch, but they just won a series against a pretty good Toronto team. The bad news is the Madrigal news. So Sox are on the road with an earlier pregame later tonight. We'll put the Odds Couple podcast up. Right after we're done taping it, around 1:30 or so today, Mike North has his bonus play with us in about 45 minutes. Cubs are home with a 3-game lead, tied with Milwaukee atop the NL Central. The second-place Cardinals are in town for a weekend series. It will be a capacity crowd. Everything's back to 100%. Things are opening up. A lot of baseball teams are vaccinated. They are above the 85% that they need to be. The White Sox are one of them. About two-thirds or just over two-thirds of the teams in MLB are. The Cubs, of course, are not. This has been a talking point for a few weeks. They're in all likelihood not going to get there. I doubt guys' minds are going to change now. Jed Hoyer talked about it a couple weeks ago. I know Jeff Garland was upset about it with Waddle and Sylvie when he was on earlier this week. Some view it as a competitive disadvantage. And then Anthony Rizzo made some news on the station with his weekly visit with Cap and Hoodie earlier today when the conversation turned to discussions that the players have amongst themselves in the clubhouse about getting vaccinated.
Yeah, we've all talked about it, and we've all discussed it, and we've all to great lengths. And I just think that, you know, guys who are and aren't vaccinated, the guys that are not vaccinated still feel very safe doing normal things. They're not too concerned. And it's everyone's own opinion and own. You know, there's so much more to the story than someone just not being vaccinated. Someone that, he's an anti-vaxxer. I think that's, there's so much more to everyone's individual story that, it's on them. It's on their family. It's a big decision for them and their family. And it is case by case. And when we have respectful discussions about it, just like we do with everything else that comes up during the year. And, you just let it be at what it is.
So you are, if I can ask, you are vaccinated?
I actually decided not to get the vaccine. And there's just a lot that went into it, talking to all our doctors. And it was a really hard decision on all ends. But it's just one of those things where just continue to be safe and continue to go on and live life.
Are there doctors out there suggesting people don't get it? I'm just wondering. When he says a lot goes into it, I've talked to the doctors.
I think a lot of doctors will tell you it's up to you and what your comfortability is. What your If you're comfortable getting it, get it. If you're not comfortable getting it, don't get it.
Hmm.
I think that's the advice you end up getting from a lot of people.
I wonder, like, medically what they would suggest, but, like, I don't know.
I think Joey, who's a cancer survivor, called and he said, yeah, my doctor said what Yurko said. Hey, you can do what you want. I'd suggest you get it, but ultimately, it's your body.
They've done a lot of work. Listen, you can't, like, when a medical professional tells you, if the point is, well, what you can't, a medical professional cannot tell you, I can assure you
right.
there will be no long-term effects. They can't. They have cannot. No evidence. Right. We don't have right. the yep. data to say definitively, hey, the counterpoint is, you know, if you do happen to come down with COVID, there's a lot of long-term effects that we don't know about either.
Right.
And the little that we do know, there have been lots of bad things that have come from it as well. So that is, you know, you're still yeah. at risk if you don't get it. So I think yeah. that's the decision that a lot of people are trying to debate right now as to whether or not they want to get it.
Cap did nothing wrong there either. That's a simple follow-up that they were having a conversation about right. what is a hot button topic
right now. That was actually
right
a good question.
Absolutely.
That's a good follow-up question.
Did nothing wrong.
It's a
wrong.
Rarity.
Cap did nothing wrong. I know Rizzo's agent's not happy. Anthony Rizzo could have answered that however he wanted. He's not a rookie. He's he's a well-versed member of professional baseball right. that has dealt with the media for a long time. He's a grown-up. He's a big boy. He could answer that any way he wanted.
He anticipated the question was coming.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, he had a good answer for it.
Yeah. I mean, the Cap did absolutely nothing wrong. Jim's and Niles on ESPN 1000.
So if you want to be mad at him, be mad.
Yeah, you can be mad. I don't care. What up, Jimmy?
Hey, morning. Afternoon. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, you know, the issue with, you know, with Cap's question, it seemed a little leading, but at the end of the day, you know, it's Rizzo's choice, and for them to refer to it as a bombshell story, I don't really agree with that. I mean,
I think it's pretty big. You know, I think it's pretty big news, Jim. I mean, he's the face of the franchise at this point. I mean, right? I
yeah.
mean, he's
yeah,
their leader.
But I mean, I guess the analogy is okay. Well, if he gets sick in the playoffs and he causes himself to miss a game or other players,
yeah.
well, he could get the flu too.
Yeah,
and he could miss games that way. Are we verifying that he had his flu vaccination?
Yeah, but you know there's no protocol for the flu at this point. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, Jim, but it doesn't matter because there's no flu protocol. There's a COVID protocol, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, but I mean, when Rizzo comes up to bat, are we cheering for him to get a hit or are we going, oh, look at this guy, he didn't get the vaccine. So, you know, we're taking away, I mean, he's a sports figure. You know, he's not a school teacher. He's a sports figure. I don't see how it could be that much of a bombshell story. And when they say it's going to get whipped into a frenzy, it seems more like the media's whipping it into a frenzy.
Hey, you're the one who's calling. I mean, we didn't force you to call.
Listen, Garland started it the other day when he went kind of on a diatribe about it. And, you know, then people picked it up. What? Yeah, people are too quick to judge nowadays point fingers anyway. So, you know, that's where you find yourself some days.
I'm just calling off from my point of view. I don't consider it a bombshell story.
You're fine. Jimmy, that's fine. Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty, come on. We got to be, aren't we past like, oh, it's the media is making it a story. No, we're not. Anthony Rizzo said it.
If you want the reason,
Anthony Rizzo is a high-profile public figure in this town. All right, it's not the media making it a story. Anthony Rizzo made it a story. He answered it.
If you want to take issue with the term bombshell, I would point to the fact that your GM Jed Hoyer is the one who initially said that he felt like it was a competitive disadvantage not to be fully vaccinated.
Exactly.
And then we've seen plenty of athletes adeptly not answer the question. Like nobody
like LeBron.
Exactly. Like, and you can say, you know what? It's a personal choice. I'd rather not say. Because you know why? You don't want to be put in the middle of the firestorm. We all know what that firestorm is. It's a very divisive topic on both sides.
It is.
Right? And
yes.
So athletes generally like to avoid the confrontation. He could have easily done so. And by choosing to answer it, you now have people on both sides wanting to make their points.
Let's see. Oh, boy, a lot of calls here. Look at this. Let's go to it. Logan in Highland, Indiana. Hello, Logan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Logan, how are you?
Good. So, I mean, on the Rizzo situation, I mean, my belief is that it's up to you if you want to get the vaccine. But as someone who's been vaccinated, I don't really want to hear people who haven't got the vaccine complain about further restrictions or not being able to reap the benefits of the vaccine. So, I mean, there's things like sports that's involved. I think about John Rahm. I'm not sure if he was vaccinated, but I know he had to leave last week.
Right, because he tested positive.
Tournament and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, do what you want, but I really don't want to hear people complaining about further restrictions or not being able to do certain things if they don't have the vaccine. Also about the, I know people complain about it being rushed. I don't think people realize that, I mean, the foundation of technology that this vaccine was built on has been in development for decades.
Of course.
It's not like they just started from square one, you know, last year.
Vaccines aren't new, and these types of vaccines aren't new. That's a salient point. I mean, they're not, Yurko. They're not
new.
Vaccines are not new. Vaccine technology
I wonder if they're working
new.
On the vaccine in the Wuhan lab.
Oh, stop it, Yurko. Not everything's a conspiracy.
I didn't say anything. I just offered up something like everybody else is offering.
The only
up
conspiracy we're talking about is Pete Alonso blaming Major League Baseball for doctoring the balls based on the free agent class.
That's right.
That's
I like that. That's
theory.
A theory.
Now, that's a theory I can get behind,
that
baby.
That is a theory.
You better believe it. To Logan's point, I don't think Rizzo was complaining that they're at a competitive disadvantage. He's got no right to. That's absolutely right. I don't think he was. He can't. I mean.
Right.
He just gave you his thoughts on why he's not.
I think he's talking about in general.
Yeah.
Like, if you're out there and you can't go into some place because you don't have a vaccine, then don't bitch about it.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's offering up.
Let's go to, let's see. Here's Brian. He's a physician. Should we talk to Brian?
Yeah, put Brian on there. I love
Brian in Orland. What kind of doctor are you, Brian?
Believe it or not, I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor, but
beautiful.
I don't think that matters.
Okay. If you're an orthopedic surgeon,
for our edification,
so we understand.
I want to know what kind of doctor we're talking to. That's all.
I have a little bit of knowledge.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And
yes.
It's my feeling that every physician should be an advocate for the vaccine. The risk benefit is far and away overwhelmingly on the side of being vaccinated. You're not only helping yourself, you're helping society. Frankly, I'm a little tired of physicians who.
I think we just lost Brian.
Brian, did we lose you?
Brian?
Are you in transit, Brian? He's probably down.
I'm sorry, yes, I am.
There you go. Okay, you're a little tired of physicians
who are not advocates for the vaccine.
But aren't most of them,
in
your experience, Brian, maybe amongst your colleagues, I mean, aren't most doctors advocating for it? I mean, they can't force you, but
They are, but I hear questions from my patients of others where their physician was not necessarily.
Okay.
And I feel like they should find a new physician, frankly.
Okay. All right, Brian, thank you. That's Dr. Brian's two cents, and he's entitled to that. He says, do it for yourself. The risks, you know, of not getting it outweigh the risks of actually getting it, in his opinion. Let's go to Tom in Toledo, Ohio. Wait a minute. We got two
Tom
Toms.
In Toledo, yes.
I'm going to go to Tom in Toledo.
Tommy in Toledo. Toledo Tom.
Hi, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm a three-time cancer survivor.
Three-time. God bless you, man. Wow.
Yeah, three-time. Yeah, testicular, prostate, and then larynx.
Jeez.
But anyway, between that, I've had like four major back surgeries, too. So I know what it's like to be hospitalized and to be, you know, have all kinds of goo shot into your body. But to me, the vaccine just frees everybody up. I mean, not only yourself, but the people that you want to have, you know, contact with. I just don't understand why. I mean, if you don't want to talk about getting vaccinated, fine. But to not get vaccinated, to me, is just kind of silly.
All right. Tommy, thanks, buddy. Appreciate your phone call. Let's go to here. Here's Fred. Fred, I'm probably going to disagree. He's in Palos. What's up, Freddie?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, I just want to call with my personal take on this. Some that are saying this isn't maybe necessarily a bombshell story with Rizzo. It's maybe not that much, but
that's subjective, I guess. What we term a bombshell, I don't know. But I mean, it's a story. It's obviously news.
It is news, and that's why I'm calling, because as someone that had the virus and is on the fence on whether or not to get vaccinated or not, I'm not a Cubs or Rizzo fan, but that resonates with me big time. When Anthony Rizzo, who we know has had some medical history, who we know has a team of doctors that overlook his health and every one of his decisions and advice, when he comes out and says he's talked to his people and there's some, you know, support, I guess, for him not getting it, that's alarming to me.
Well, he didn't say that, though. He didn't say that,
well,
Frank.
He didn't say that, but he did say he consulted with people, and, yeah, and his conclusion is not to get it. So, yeah. I, you know, draw what you want from that. Lastly, Carm, if you think the Sox are getting Trey Turner, pal, what are we giving up?
I don't. I don't. I don't, Freddie.
Tell him.
I don't think the Sox are getting Trey Turner. Don't put this on me. That was Cap's thought. I do not think the Sox are getting Trey Turner.
What are we giving up, Carm? Boy.
See, I got mad at Cap for suggesting it when he did, because I was like, we're getting way off the rails here.
No,
he's playing fantasy baseball.
I suggested Jonathan Schoop. That's my suggestion. Go get Jonathan Schoop.
That's a little more rational.
That's more rational. I think Sox fans would like that. They'd say, yes, that makes sense.
Usually it's time for a Billy Crest joke here, but I'm going to stay away from it.
You know what that guy does, Jonathan Schoop? He hits, man. He's a professional hitter.
He's
young. I think he's under 30 still, isn't he?
Believe it or not, I think he is, which is amazing. It seems like he's been around forever. Like, that'd be your stopgap if Madrigal doesn't come back. And let's face it, it's probably pretty unlikely that he's going to be able to come back from this year. Like, that's your stopgap. Like, that makes sense. Not Trey Turner, who's a free agent at the end of the year and is going to cost you a lot more in terms of prospects and dollars. Jonathan Schoop's making like $4 million this year. No problem.
Beautiful.
Even Jerry will sign off
on
that.
That's good money.
Anyway, I'm going to pay the rest of the salary.
It's good money.
Good money for most of us, for just about all of us, pal. It's damn good money. All right, the lines are lit. We'll take more of your phone calls as we're talking Cubs and White Sox and Rizzo. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
David Ross just spoke. I think we're going to get that sound for you in a second. Talked about what Rizzo had said on the station earlier today. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. Mike North will give us his bonus play at about 11:45. Mike and I will get the Odds Couple podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app a little bit later this afternoon. We are going to be taping that right when we are done with the show. Yurko just got a delicious-looking donut walked into him.
Boy. In lieu of breakfast sandwich.
I mean, that looks spectacular. That's from Do Right Donuts.
See how they got a dollop of chocolate on there on Twitch?
God, that looks
good. Not only is it a dark chocolate donut, but then there's a dollop of milk chocolate on there.
That's their Valhalla chocolate cake donut, they call it. It's very, very good. I had a vanilla bean glazed donut from Do Right earlier today. Every Friday, I stop in. I treat myself on Fridays, Yurk. I get a donut on Friday morning.
I had an apple fritter.
And now you've already had the apple fritter. Now you're having that?
For breakfast.
We should do something, Carm. I was thinking about this actually. It would be kind of funny. Yurko. I should just bring in some food for Yurko every segment. He'd eat it.
Listen,
guys,
five small meals, right?
Yeah.
5 to 6 small meals?
I don't know. Zetterman will tell you that science has changed, too.
Science, by the way. I got less faith in science now than I ever
Why?
Had. The only guy I got faith in is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
We're trying to get him. Merck, will you please work with Danny so we can get Neil deGrasse Tyson on? You guys have to come together, work together. Danny's booked him for us in the past. And let's get Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show. Okay, we'll talk about the aliens, the impending alien invasion that is going to be happening, apparently. And we'll talk about spin rates.
If Neil deGrasse tells me I should get the vaccine, then I'll get the vaccine.
He's probably going to tell you you should get it.
I want to hear it from his mouth.
All right.
I want him to look me in the eye.
No, he's not a doctor.
And he's a scientist.
He's a scientist.
I trust the science.
He's a doctor of physics, I guess.
Right?
But yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to tell you, I think, Eric.
Don't be so presumptuous.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Let him say it.
Cap was presumptuous earlier today, and it got him in big trouble. Although he did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong. He's not in trouble.
No, I don't. Of course
he's not in
trouble.
You should tell the agent, go blow it out its keystone.
Really? I mean, please. Cap's fine. Cap said Yaxies today, right? Isn't that today?
1-3.
For the day game, 1-3.
1-3, yeah.
Original Yaxies there that's on Clark.
Right.
That's still the same one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was one over on,
there was one on
Diversey. I think that one might have closed, though. But the original one, right by the ballpark.
Carmen, the urge is to want to punch Cap when you see him. Please refrain from doing that.
It's not the urge.
Don't do that, please.
Carmen, that's interesting. Calls on hold there. You want to take some Euro soccer talk, or do you want to go?
Take it.
Italy and Turkey kick off the tournament today.
No, it's Is 2 o'clock. Turkey and Italy? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Rome.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Yes.
Our time, Italy and Turkey. The Italy's obviously the favorite. I'm favorite in the game.
Turkey
favorite
play,
in the game. Hey,
yes.
I just want to make sure, in the game. Not
yeah.
for the Euros.
I am the most pessimistic. Like, when it comes to a team that I cheer for, that I am always down on.
Right.
And people sometimes accuse me of that. I'm really a pretty optimistic person, especially with my teams. I mean, I can get hard on them sometimes. I expect a lot. But I am always down on Italy. And yes, I do cheer for Italy. Look, when they play the U.S., I cheer for U.S. soccer to beat them. It's just not the same.
I understand.
They're not in the same field. I mean, they're just not. Right. Like, USA soccer is
much better.
I cheer for Italy. I'm 100% Italian. My ancestors are from there. My grandfather lived and died with that team for his entire life.
We're doing Euro talk.
Euro talk,
so,
yeah.
Talk to Alex real quick.
But I'm always pessimistic on Italy.
We'll get right back to our guy Rizzo.
I don't think they're going to watch him lose today. Alex is in Wheeling. What's up, Alex?
Carm, are you pessimistic because of how Argentina beat them, I think, in 1988? Are you still hung up on that?
No. I don't think that's anything specific. I just, I don't know where it comes from. I don't like the way they play. I don't like their style. I don't you know what I mean? They're disgraceful.
You're older, your back line's a little old, but yes. I'm just curious. Jurko, you're kind of coming down to the golden age of Croatia, Carm. You got a good team, but it's still a little fuzzy, like what your guys' thoughts are. And then at a group F between Hungary, Portugal, France, and Germany, who's making out of that one?
By the way, that's the group of death.
Hungary, Portugal, France, Germany? They're in the same group?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, France is
Remember, Germany missed out.
So you're telling me...
Of the group stage, you know, to get to the Final 16 last year in the World Cup, or 2018. So they were sleeted and pulled the second pool. So those teams were all matched together. Yeah. Portugal's in there, too.
So one of France, Germany, and Portugal will miss?
No. One of them could be the third-place finisher, most likely.
I've got you.
And could still make it to the knockout stage.
Oh.
France is the overwhelming favorite to win. That they are the defending World Cup title holders.
Right.
Portugal is the defending Euro holders. Correct. So they won the last Euros when it took place back in 2016. So those two are in that group. And then Germany obviously has an illustrious history.
There's six groups of four.
Correct.
So 12 automatically make it, and then there's four third place.
Oh, I didn't know that. Correct. I got
it. It is possible for all three to get through. Right. Yeah. Although it may be a little bit difficult, though, when you consider that there's no easy game except for Hungary.
That's a brutal draw.
Yes. It is clearly the group of death.
All right. Anything else? Croatia ending the golden age? I mean, Croatia always seems to play well in these tournaments.
Not always, though. Whenever they play well, sometimes they end up missing out.
Yeah.
And, you know, after 98, it wasn't rosy.
Hmm.
And I think in 2008, they played in the European Championships. They were pretty good. They got knocked out by Turkey in shootout. So, you know.
Yeah.
It took time. It's usually 20 years. Every 20 years, you get the golden age of soccer. Hmm. So I don't have 1,000 expectations for Croatia here. I think they're going to make it through. It's England, Croatia, really, Czechoslovakia, and Scotland.
Czech Republic.
Yeah, Croatia gets through with England, and there might be a third-place team coming out of there also. But we up front, Mandzukic is gone. Rebic is injured. They might play Petkovic. They've got Perisic on the other side. Their midfield is strong. Defense is always a problem for Croatia because we like to get players up the field.
Right.
Offensive-minded soccer. That's what we like. We leave ourselves weak on the back end.
But I'd rather see that than the way Italy plays sometimes. I tell you,
Park the bus, period.
Boring brand of soccer. Yeah. That's why, I don't know.
And they dive a lot, too.
They dive a lot. Well, they all dive over there. Robert's in Bloomington. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to respond to the physician I called in a little bit ago saying that all physicians and doctors should be encouraging everyone to get the vaccine. My mother's had a multiple sclerosis for almost 30 years, and her doctor has said, with her having a history of reactions to different medicines she's been on, that it would not be, that she should really think about it and almost not get the vaccine just because she doesn't know what, you know, the mix of the medicine between the vaccine and what she has to take for her disease would be.
Yeah. That sounds like a special case. I mean, that makes sense. Then you do trust your doctor. Of course. If you've got something as terrible as what, you know, Robert's mom has dealt with most of her life, and the doctor says, hey, this probably, your chart, your history, what we know about you, probably not a good idea. Okay. Then, you know, that's...
There you go.
You take that advice, absolutely.
That advice is heeded.
Well, let me know when we get that raw sound, too, guys. Tom in Wicker Park wants to talk about Madrigal's replacement. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's up? So I just want to kind of like clarify. I think a lot of people are freaking out thinking that the Sox have to give up like the farm to get a rental bat. And if you look at past rental bat acquisitions like Castellanos or J.D. Martinez, they really don't cost that much. So I really don't think like to get somebody like Adam Frazier, I don't think it's going to cost you like Jared Kelly. It's probably like Zach Birdie or something. What they really need is a right-handed reliever. Somebody like Craig Kimbrel, that would cost a lot. And that's where, like, Jake Berger having this resurgence in the minors, that really helps because now they've got a piece that doesn't really, like, fit in.
Right.
But to replace Madrigal or get, like, an outfield bat, I don't think it's going to be that crazy of an acquisition.
Tommy, well said. Appreciate your thoughts. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk about anything that we've discussed today. A little NBA to talk about, too, when we come back. And then Mike North's bonus play at 11:45. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Working from home? We're back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Well, Coby White had to have surgery. Did you see that? He was participating in basketball activities, but he hurt his shoulder and now he had to have surgery, and they're saying about 4 to 5 month recovery time for Coby White.
Shoulder?
Yeah.
Sounds like a labrum, doesn't it?
You'd know better than I. Well, I mean, that seems
two things,
right.
What two things you have, you either tear your labrum, you tear your rotator cuff when you got a shoulder.
Yeah.
So you dislocate your shoulder, usually you tear your labrum. Mm. Then you got to take a look at the bicipital groove. You might have some bicep damage up at the top there. And, you know, that's where you're at. And, yeah, it's going to be a recovery. My Jakey had it.
Oh,
he
yeah.
went through a long recovery.
Hmm.
You know, but he's back now, stronger than ever, and that's the way it works.
Strong like bull.
It just takes time. That's the problem with the torn labrum. It's a problem.
So that was bad news for the Bulls. I don't know what they're going to do with Coby White anyway, to be honest. I don't know.
Try to figure it out, Carm.
I don't know how.
I mean,
the
you've
Bull,
got
like,
your
I,
two. You got Levine, right?
Got Zach Levine.
Levine, and you got your
Vucevic.
Guy. Vucevic. That's it. That's your two guys.
If, you know, we're always trying to figure out, like, all right, how do you build the team? And now maybe all that's going to happen going forward is the super team stuff. You know, they team up together. Durant's done it twice. I mean, he could win another title doing it this year. LeBron's done it twice. Won titles in Miami and L.A. last year with AD. I'm sure Damian Lillard's got to be thinking, like, what am I going to do here? He's got to find somebody else to play with. Like, this is it. I mean, whether you like it or not, I love Barkley. But, oh, he hopes. What did Barkley say? He hopes the Nets lose because he cheers against super teams, which is still comical considering he forced his way out of Philly and then formed a super team in Houston. I love Charles. I genuinely love Charles Barkley. I don't know him as well as Waddle and Sylvie, but we've been around Charles.
Yeah.
He is a fun, affable, likable, I think generous, real person. I really believe that. I think he is great at what he does. But give me a break, Charles. I mean, you tried it. And just because he didn't win, I'm going to go all Shaq now, okay? You don't know nothing about winning championships, Chuck. You don't know nothing about winning championships.
How many do you have, Chuck?
You got none, Chuck. You can't talk here, Chuck. You don't know nothing about winning championships. You know, please. So you're cheering against Brooklyn because they formed a super team? Maybe you didn't like the way Harden did it. I'll give you that. That one maybe is a little stinkier than most because he basically just quit.
Yes.
And stopped working out and apparently put on a fat suit. I'm under the impression that the guy literally was putting on a fat suit.
Three days later, he looked great.
So, okay, maybe you don't specifically like the way Harden did it because it was midseason and he just quit on a team and he makes a lot of money. But, I mean, give me a break, these guys. And Chuck's probably still a little bit bitter that he never did win. But, like, so if that's the future, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Or, as I watch the Utah Jazz play, I kind of think, okay, do the Bulls have anything that's quite as good as Donovan Mitchell? Probably not, but maybe Zach's like, kind of, like, can Zach be the, Donovan Mitchell is out of this world. Dude, I mean, look at what he's doing in the playoffs the last couple of years. Look at his regular season scoring average versus in his shooting percentages and then what he's done in his playoff career. You're seeing the kind of bumps that make you go, whoa. I mean, like, this guy is taking it to a next level to steal just an old boring cliche. But, I mean, that's what he's doing come playoff time for them. So I'm thinking to myself, well, what if you could find something close to Donovan Mitchell, the best defensive big man in the league, and then just do nothing but surround him with score like shooters? Just say we're going to outscore everybody. Our job is now, all we're going to do is we're just going to outscore. We're just going to outscore you. We're going to have everybody that steps on the floor can shoot from distance, and that's it. Like, that's what we're going to be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that a roadmap to winning in the NBA? I mean, Utah hasn't won anything yet anyway, but I mean.
I mean, I suppose if you can land yourself the best defensive player in the league to anchor your
defense. That's what you need, right? You've got to, like.
And a potential superstar in Donovan Mitchell who might be on the cusp of that. Sure. And then surround those players with shooting.
At some point, though, you have to be able to stop somebody.
Yeah.
You have to be able to stop somebody.
Not as much, though, in this NBA. The way the shooting has gone, Yerk, like, the Nets may just go ahead and, like, they were awful last night, but they only need to win four games in the series. The Nets may just go ahead and prove that you don't need defense in this, in the way the NBA is.
What happens, though, when possessions get short? At the end of the game, and you're running out of possessions. At the beginning of the game, it's, oh, that's great. We're going to have 100 and some odd possessions during the course of the game, and we need to do the best we can to score as many points as we can over that time. But what happens when you're getting down to three possessions?
To five, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to steal a possession, maybe. I mean, that's when it becomes important.
The Nets, though, may have created a situation where they never have to get to that point. They may be, in a seven-game series, be able to outscore you in four where they don't need to worry about getting short in possession.
It could happen.
How much certainly
better,
can. How much better is Mitchell than Zach?
I won't dispute that.
Right. I mean, like, first of all, Zach's got one thing working in his favor, and that's size that Donovan Mitchell doesn't have. Seemingly, it might not matter because he's just become such a good shooter, and he's just fearless, and he raises his game come playoff time. I mean, I'm so impressed with him the last couple of years. Like, how close is Zach to being – is he – like Mitch, like Mellor said, I mean, Mitchell might be on the verge of superstardom here. Is Zach a superstar? I don't think so.
He's an all-star.
Very good.
He's an all-star.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, we're going
to be still trying to, like, decide if the guy that you've made a decision on and paired him up with a big man is the guy.
There's new management. There's a new coach. We all felt pretty good. There's a honeymoon.
He played his best basketball this year.
And they still missed the playoffs. They were still below 500.
But you got to bottom out before you start getting out of there.
Haven't they already bottomed out?
I agree. They did, because last year's record and the year before that would offer you a bottoming out area. Weren't they better than they were last year?
Yeah, they were a little bit.
But the thing is, like, they don't have to make the decision, though. They've got this year, right, to really determine whether or not they need to make a long-term decision on Zach LaVine.
Right. I mean, like, they could extend Zach, but it probably makes no sense because he can't sign as much.
And we've heard that he doesn't want to. Right, he wants to land that big deal. So if you've got that with Zach LaVine, where you need one more year, you can see what the development of Patrick Williams is, you know, because he's also going to be a linchpin to what they do. And then you go from there next year. You'll be able to, I think, with a lot more information, know what you need to do, whether Zach LaVine's somebody you move forward with or not, on a max deal.
I'd be looking for as much shooting. If I'm running an NBA team now, I think things are changing very dramatically.
Like Utah.
A lot of perimeter shooting. I mean, just like loaded up with guys that can shoot. I mean, and just every one of them, everywhere on the floor, like, let's just outscore you and let's load it up with shooters. And that could be the direction of the league. I see what you're saying, Yerk, about, like, can you get those key stops when you need them?
Yeah.
Like, will you be good enough to
Jeff
do that?
Jeff offered it up. Listen, there might be four games where it doesn't make a difference. Could be seven games where it does.
Yeah.
You know, it could be seven games where it does.
That's why. No. Listen, if the Nets can't do it, I will admit, like, you've put together that amount of offensive talent with those three guys. And then, not just those three guys, but Blake Griffin's been revitalized.
Rejuvenated.
You've got also Joe Harris, who has, you know, he's a really good complementary piece to what they do. And so Harden, Durant, and, you know, Kyrie, and obviously Harden needs to be healthy, but Kyrie and Durant, you know, that's a tough offense to stop.
Utah's looked very good in the first two games against the Clippers. Can the Clippers do it in back-to-back series, fall into an 0-2 hole and come back and win? I mean, it's so hard anyway. It's not even, it's like 6.5% of the teams in NBA history come back from that deficit. But
I like Utah more than Dallas, so I think it's going to be much harder.
I think Utah is a much better team than the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, Dallas is really kind of like, Luka, what the hell are we going to do with Porzingis? And that's it, right? I mean, like, there's not a lot there. And they've got to be regretting the Porzingis thing big time for the way he's played the last year or so. This is a hot topic before the show in the IDOT bullpen. And IDOT reminds you to start seeing motorcycles. You know, Yurko, motorcycle safety is everyone's responsibility. So be careful. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. Mike North has a bonus play for us coming up next. We'll get that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by NJ Diet. Lose 20 to 40 pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. Visit njdiet.com.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Time for Mike North's bonus play. He joins us every Friday. Make sure you follow Mike on Twitter. He is at North to North. He's got all his Win Daily stuff that goes up on Twitter around 11 o'clock Monday through Friday. And, of course, we have the Odds Couple tonight. Now, the White Sox game will be on there in Detroit, kicking off a weekend set. But Mike and I are going to hit the studio right when we're off the air. We will tape the podcast. We will get that up on the great ESPN Chicago app in just a little bit. So later this afternoon, you can check that out. We'll give you some best plays for tonight and the weekend. But first things first, Mike's bonus play as he joins us on the Corona Hotline. Hey, Mikey.
What are you guys doing? What's going on? It's getting a little hot out there, right?
Oh, my God.
Steamy. Steamy.
Literally and proverbially, my friend. Oh, good
Lord.
I'll
tell you what. Yeah, and, you know, the Odds Couple keep going. Carmen and Yurko keep going. There's no timeouts.
That's right.
No matter what hits. No matter what hits. And you know what? I just want to say last week, I mean, I don't know what's more shocking, that the Nets lost last night or I lost the bonus play, if you've been listening over the last 20 weeks. I mean, come on. I mean, let's be honest about it. We've been on a roll of rolls, but, hey, it happens every so often. And you know what? I got a game for tonight. I rolled them last night. I had a 2-0 night with Detroit winning against Seattle and Boston winning last night. And they came back three different times. They've been playing some pretty good baseball, winning 6 out of their last 10 games. I mean, in that division right now, they seem to be getting a gauge on things. Tonight, though, I like them against Toronto at minus 120. Toronto, a good ball club. To me, they're 500. I mean, they're 31-29. But I like the Boston Red Sox. It's a very thin card tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot going on. Hockey ain't going on. Basketball, you don't know which way to turn. You know, you think you got something pegged, and then boom. I mean, last night, the Nets cover. I mean, if you played the money line with Milwaukee and you played the, like we've I've done before, Carm, it doesn't always work. And you played the spread with the Nets, you won both bets last night. So that to those people, congratulations. But tonight, men, tonight we have the Odds Couple. But before that, we will have the Boston Red Sox put it on a platter for everybody about 6 o'clock.
Love it. Blue Jays, man. Hey, a tough schedule. Go from the White Sox to the Red Sox. Unbelievable. With after a night game last night, too, where they had to travel. So I like the play. Red Sox minus the 120 on the money line. Mikey, I'll talk to you in a little bit, all right?
Keep cool, man. See you later.
All right. There's Mike North at North to North on Twitter. All right, let's recap the news of the day. Anthony Rizzo will play the short bite here where he did admit to Cap and Hoodie earlier that he was not vaccinated. This is how that went down on ESPN 1000.
I actually, Cap, decided not to get the vaccine. And there's just a lot that went into it, talking to all our doctors. And it was a really hard decision on all ends. But it's just one of those things where just continue to be safe and continue to go on and live life.
Okay, here's his manager. Of course, was asked about it during the media availability today ahead of the 121st pitch on the north side, which will have a capacity crowd, everything back open to 100%. Cubs and Cards, here's David Ross talking about Rizzo.
I think I'll lean on the things I told you guys in San Diego. To me, it really is an individual choice, and we don't treat anybody really differently around here, or at least we try not to. We try to, you know, one thing I learned early on in my playing career from a great manager like Bobby Cox, he treated a guy like me the same way he treated Chipper Jones. It really was like trying to be equal. And, you know, with everybody's choices, like I said, we try to respect everybody and come together with trying to win ball games and respect everybody's decisions. You know, we can't, there's some things that we just can't control. and guys' choices, and that's one of them. So I that doesn't change my outlook on Riz. I still respect Riz a whole lot and his decisions. And he's one of my best friends. He's one of the big pieces of our team. And, you know, we've moved forward in a great way this year with everybody's decision, not just his. There's multiple guys. So, yeah, we move forward and respect that and do our best, try to follow protocols and keep the virus outside of our locker room.
Javi Baez, I guess, said something interesting where he said they've had passionate discussions amongst one another about it. You know, the guys that have, the guys that do not want to, but that they respect each other's decisions. Here's one more bite from Ross on wanting to get to that 85% threshold.
You know, I try not to judge anybody and whether, you know, that we reach that 85% or not. I know our guys are being diligent and staying focused on really what matters the most is winning baseball games and being accountable to one another, which they've done a really nice job of. So I don't want to lose sight of like how well these guys have gone about their business and the environment we've had to deal with and all the protocols. So let's not lose sight of that either.
All right. Well, the Cubs have played well, tied for first with the Brewers atop the Central, and now the Cardinals in town for a weekend set. All right, first game in Euro is coming up. Who are you guys picking? Who are you picking to win it all? Euro 2020, which is being played in 2021.
I like Belgium.
Yurko likes Belgium. I think they're the fourth choice.
I think they might be. Yeah. I like Belgium. You know, Lukaku, they've got some real strength.
What did you say?
Lukaku is in excellent form. He's never played better.
Romelu Lukaku,
with
Everton.
Inter. He used to be. He came up through Everton.
Oh, that's right. Inter Milan is where he was.
Third choice, guys. Belgium, 6-1.
The problem with Belgium is Kevin De Bruyne will miss the first match, and he had a brutal injury in the Champions League final, which caused him to leave. He's just had facial surgery because he broke a couple bones.
When they played Chelsea.
Ooh. So, and he's really their best player. So that's the one thing is, will he get back and be able to play for them? Because if he is, they are a different team.
Germany also has, they got to respond to what happened to them in the World Cup.
They absolutely
They've got to come back. And I think Sané,
Leroy Sané.
He's been included in this.
He's on he's on the squad, but he's probably not going to start. I would say... Ooh. I'm interested to see what England does. They've got a lot of talented players. Listen, I'm not going to go against France.
England's awful.
France is loaded. Yeah. Listen, France is loaded. They've got everyone on their roster.
Is Kylian Mbappe like as good as everybody thought he was going to be? Yeah.
And here's the thing. He's really good, and he actually plays better for the international team, believe it or not.
Does he?
As good as he is for PSG, you don't usually see players play at a higher level when they go. Like, it's just.
He's like Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know what
the comp
is.
Playoffs.
But he plays excellent for France, and I just. Have a hard time betting against them.
I like Carmen's Italians.
Really?
Yeah, I do. They've got some young talent coming in.
Finally?
Now. Yes, finally younger guys coming in and playing a little
what
bit.
What do you know?
So. And who was the team that Furman gave us that 28?
Denmark.
Put a little money on them? All they've got is Christian Eriksen.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's a tough
shot.
One of the top goaltenders in the world. Some of these teams got three of the top goaltenders in the world.
Jeez.
I mean.
All right, well, for all the soccer supporters out there, enjoy it. Euro's usually a lot of fun, just like the World Cup.
Hey, and I got to throw one thing out there. Good luck to the Lake Central women's softball team going to play the state championship down in Indianapolis. They play Bishop John Roncalli High School. So good luck to Bill Sherman and Russ Serrato, the two coaches, for the Lake Central women's softball team.
We wish them the best. Love Russ. So yeah, go big daddy. Yeah. Go get him. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Kind of a hot day with everything that's going on. Waddle and Sylvie back with you in a couple of hours, and then it's right into White Sox pregame. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Stay cool. We will see you on Monday. Great work by Meller, JR, and Randy, as always. Crosstalk has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Thank you very much. You all right, buddy?
Bruce is fine. Right. Look at that. He's done.
I'm concerned.
He's done.
Partner.
We're losing Rizzo, guys. That's what we're worried about right now.
Oh, stop it.
Is that what's going to happen? It could be.
No.
You want him?
Stop
me?
No.
We're fine. Thank you.
Pass.
Hard pass. Hard pass.
You guys aren't. You're not losing him anyway. Stop it.
Hard pass. Not even a mini pass.
Everybody will calm down.
He's done. Look at him. Cappy. Come on.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.